It is my great honor and pleasure to be amongst all of you this evening. My very special gratitude to Anuttama Prabhu for so kindly dragging me to this holy place by the power of his compassion upon me. Throughout the world, Srila Prabhupada arranged for this wonderful festival to be held on Sundays in hundreds and hundreds of temples. It is an opportunity to come together with the aim of the purpose of life. The purpose of life is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshaje ahoitaki aprati hata yagatma suprasidati. That the supreme occupation for all humanity is to awaken from within the heart the inspiration, the aspiration for selfless, loving service to the Supreme Lord. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Everyone in this world is looking for satisfaction. Even the little insects, the birds in the trees, the fish in the water, the beasts in the forests, and every type of human being. Some may have black bodies, some may have white bodies, some may have yellow bodies or red bodies. Some may be oriental, some may be eastern, western, some may be old or young, they may be atheists, or they may be Christians or Jews or Muslims or Buddhists or Jains or Parsis or Hindus. But there's something everyone has in common. Anandamayo vyashat. The nature of the soul is to look for pleasure. We are all looking for satisfaction. Whether we're communists or socialists or capitalists, everyone is looking for satisfaction. But there are different theories of how to achieve such satisfaction. Essentially, economy is based on trying to somehow or other satisfy sometimes the needs, but mostly the wants of people's minds. And people are spending billions and trillions of dollars looking for satisfaction. But what is real satisfaction? The satisfaction that actually fulfills the needs and the wants of the heart. That is the subject of true religion. That is the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. We find in today's American society greater technology and scientific achievements than have ever been seen before in our generations. My father tells me when he was small, there was no such thing as television. The family entertainment was everyone would gather around one little radio. It wasn't even stereophonic. Just one little radio, and they would listen. And that was big time technological achievement to sit around this little speaker in a radio and hear the president speak. Or hear some show where people are one person's imitating 20 different voices. And as far as telephones, it was just party line. You speak, you have to wait till everybody else in the neighborhood gets off the line, till you can get a chance. And they would consider, this is great benediction. Now, satellite televisions, cellular telephones, computers, evil. Hardly anyone flew in airplanes in the 1920s. Now everyone flying airplanes everywhere, anywhere. What immense changes have taken place in the world in just one generation, one person's lifetime. There are millions of such people who have seen all of these incredible physical transformations. But is there any more satisfaction now than there was then? In the 1950s, the biggest problems in the public schools of America, according to statistics, was chewing gum in class, running in the halls, and talking during class. Some serious problems there. I was one of them. The biggest problems in the 1990s were teenage pregnancy, carrying of weapons, violence with weapons, and addiction to hard drugs. So with all of our nice technology and scientific achievements, are we making progress? Now, we're not against technology or scientific achievements, but real progress is internal. How people's character is developing. How people are becoming more in tune with the very needs of their hearts, the needs of their souls, and finding satisfaction. Suicide, depression. According to the World Health Organization, this is the number one disease of the 21st century. Mental illness based on depression. Hare Krishna. Now, I remember when I first went to India, people lived so simple. Little villages, but they were so happy to just come together, play little drums and cymbals and chant God's names and hear from Ramayana, Mahabharata, stories about the Lord's incarnations in this world. But now I go to those same places, and they all have antennas over their huts, sometimes satellite dishes. And everyone's too busy watching televisions to come to chant or to hear about God. Are they happier? That is a serious question. Therefore, Bhagavatam is declaring as the real standard that satisfaction to the heart can only be achieved to the degree we have unmotivated, uninterrupted, selfless desire to serve the Supreme Lord. Why is that? Because that is our nature. If you take a fish out of the water and put that fish on the sand, no matter what arrangements you make for that fish to enjoy, he may mentally enjoy, or she may sensually enjoy, but that satisfaction is unnatural. It doesn't really give fulfillment unless you put the fish back in the water. So what is the difference between the body and the soul? Who are we? That is the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita, to understand who I am. This body is like a vehicle. We're seeing through our eyes, we're hearing through our ears, we're tasting through our tongue, we're smelling through our nose, we're feeling through our flesh, we're thinking through our brain, we're loving through our heart. But who are we? Who am I? Consciousness. In the absence of consciousness, there's no life. There's no one home. A dead corpse is a vehicle without a driver. We are becoming more and more expert at fulfilling the needs of the vehicle. But unfortunately, in this world, people have forgotten the needs of the self. We need love. Without love, no one could be happy. We've seen multi-billionaires commit suicide when their lover leaves them.
Hare Krishna.
So what is that all about? We've seen people with hundreds of millions of dollars and the son dies or commits suicides and they can't enjoy anything they have. And we've seen innocent, simple, poor people who have affectionate family members and they're basically happy. Yes? So the most fundamental need of every living entity is to love and be loved. And the more inclusive, the more expansive that love becomes, the greater fulfillment to the heart. And therefore, Bhagavatam describes that real love is based on selfless, humble service for the satisfaction of the object of love. A mother's love for child. Today we had a nice grain-giving ceremony, and Radhika and Jwalamukhi were holding their little babies. And what were the babies doing for them? Huh? Just taking. You know, they're in a public assembly, and the baby's crying and wiggling and jumping, and the mother... It's really a selfless service. I don't know how mothers do it, but somehow or other, the fact that we're all living is mothers have done it. It's a selfless service. They're not expecting anything in return. They're just giving, 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 giving. And that's a great satisfaction to the heart. If there's love, the pains of serving the child give satisfaction to the mother's heart. Now that seems contradictory. How could pain give satisfaction? When it is endured in a spirit of love, it gives satisfaction. In fact, the more pain, the more satisfaction. Because it is a deeper sacrifice of one's desire to please the object of one's love. And such sacrifice brings character, realization, and soberness to a person's life. Where does this instinct or this natural propensity come from? From the soul's eternal love for the Supreme Soul, for Krishna, for God. The name Krishna means all attractive. The name Krishna is beyond all sectarian conceptions. Krishna means that supreme personality that has the power to attract everyone's full heart of love. And because every living being is part and parcel of Krishna, mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana, to love Krishna means to spontaneously and naturally love every living being. Entity. You cannot love Krishna and hate anyone. It's impossible. Because Krishna is within every living being's heart. Every living being is part of Krishna. Even if they come to kill you, you may hate their disease, but you have to love the person who is diseased. Because they are our brothers, our sisters. That is love of God. The most inclusive, most ecstatic, and most expansive possibility of love is love of God. And that is factually the only thing that will give complete satisfaction to the heart. Unconditional, unmotivated, loving service to the Supreme. And wherever we find that, we understand that is real, that is true. That is spiritual. And wherever we don't find those qualities, whatever it's called, whatever it's labeled, we understand is defective. How to awaken that love within the heart? That is the ultimate quest of life. And the most sincere and intelligent people dedicate their lives in various ways to that quest. Oma pavitra pavitro vasar bhavastam gato piva yasmare pundarikaksam sabhayabhyantara suchi. That to purify the heart is the important, most important need in the world today. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the nature of love of God within this world. It's very profound, simultaneously very, very simple. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, when there, to the degree there is love of God awakened within the heart, when that love is directed toward one's fellow beings, devotees, it manifests as intimate friendship. Now, what is friendship? Friendship is not I scratch your back and you scratch mine. That's mutual exploitation. It is said a friend in need is a friend indeed. Have you heard this before? A real friend is someone who's going to stand with you even if you can't do nothing for them. Because there's affection, there's a bond of love. Yes? You really don't know who your friends are until you're really in a situation of helplessness. Who's going to stand there with you? Who's going to be there to make sacrifices to help you? That is friend, in the true sense. Rupa Goswami describes amongst devotees, what are the exchanges of friendship? To share Krishna with one another. Surada Saravadehinam, Krishna tells in Gita, I am the well-wishing friend of all living beings. At the time of death, who can help us but God Himself and those who help us to remember God, those who help us to follow God, those who inspire us in the service of the Lord? That is real friendship on the spiritual platform. So those who actually love God are always seeking deeper and deeper spiritual friendships with people in this world. We find this amongst Lord Chaitanya and his associates. What was their love for each other? When Lord Chaitanya would speak about his devotees, he would speak about them with so much love. It was as if he had five mouths. Now, there was one devotee named Vasudev Dutt. How many people have heard about Vasudev Dutt? Please raise your hand. I will say something briefly about Lord Chaitanya, who is an avat, who is Krishna himself, who appeared within this world, was receiving guests who came to visit him. They traveled many, many hundreds and hundreds of miles to visit him. And each person he was embracing and welcoming and giving gifts and giving a nice place of residence to stay while they were there and giving nice food or prasad. And he was praising each devotee as if he had five mouths, their qualities, their characteristics. And it was from his heart. It was not diplomacy, where we speak something because we want to get something out of someone. That is flattery. Yes? The difference between flattery and appreciation is flattery we will speak very nicely about someone because we want to somehow or other get something from them for ourselves. But appreciation is actually from the heart, to really deeply appreciate that person and offer that appreciation as a selfless service without expecting anything in return. That appreciation is very deep and spiritual. Flattery is just superficial, mundane, and hollow. You may get some money and prestige, but nothing else. So Lord Chaitanya called upon Vasudev Dutt. And Vasudev Dutt was hearing the Lord appreciating him. And he didn't like it. He didn't want to be appreciated. He wanted to appreciate. Actually, the more you want to be appreciated, the more you'll be in anxiety, because you'll never get enough. But the more you want to appreciate others, the more you'll be happy. Because actually, it's in appreciating that we find real satisfaction. Yes? So Vasudev Dutt, he said, "My Lord, stop talking all these things, please. I have one desire that is very deeply burning in my heart." I have to end at 7. All right, I'm not going to interfere, but I'm sorry. "I have one desire that's burning in my heart, and you are the Supreme Lord. I know you can fulfill my desire." He said, "When I see the foolish living entities within this world suffering due to forgetfulness of you, it breaks my heart. It is unbearable. Please offer me this one benediction. Let all the sins of all living entities in the entire universe fall on my head. Let me suffer hellish conditions perpetually and bring everyone else to the liberated state to enjoy life with you. Please fulfill my desire." Now, the Lord is within everyone's heart. He knew Vasudev Dutt was serious. The Supreme Lord cried tears. His voice was faltering, choked up. His limbs were trembling to see the compassion of Vasudev Dutt. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then, he praised Vasudev Dutt as if he had 1,000 mouths. Hare Krishna. So when there is love of God in the heart, it manifests toward other devotees in intimate friendship. Deep relationships, caring relationships, to help each other, to encourage each other, to inspire each other, to overcome obstacles and be happy. And when that love of God is within our heart, when it is directed toward the fallen souls, it manifests as compassion. Not condemnation, but compassion. That was the quality of Vasudev Dutt. He did not discriminate. This person, let him go to hell. This person, he must go to hell. He should go to hell. This person said this against me. This person does not believe. This person is a heretic. Let them all go back to Godhead and let me suffer their sins. That is compassion. One who has love of God has that quality. And Srila Prabhupada so kindly came into all of our lives to give us that supreme benediction that can completely satisfy the self. Today is the appearance day, the Vyas Puja, of a very exalted associate of Srila Prabhupada, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was a personality we could speak on for hours and days, but we only have 7 minutes. He came to Krishna consciousness in 1968 in San Francisco, California, and from the very beginning, just wholesale gave his heart and soul to the mission of compassion of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. The types of austerities and difficulties he lovingly and happily accepted in the service of Guru and Krishna are historical and a wonderful example for the world. Whatever Prabhupada wanted, to share God's love with the world, he was just willing to put his life on the line to execute. Prabhupada wanted his books distributed. His books are Prabhupada's very humble and pure-hearted offering to humanity by taking the Vedic literatures, the essence of the Vedic literatures, and making them understandable in the English language and later on practically every language on earth. Tamal Krishna Goswami took that mission to heights that had never been seen before. Srila Prabhupada was very fond of seeing devotees spreading the pure vibration of the holy names. Tamal Krishna Goswami was the first person in ISKCON's history to organize very, very attractive, wonderful Harinam Sankirtan in the streets of America and London and Germany and all over the world. Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish a center in Mayapur, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, so that people from all over the world could come to this holy spiritual environment. The incredible efforts he made to establish that Mayapur temple, to get that land for Prabhupada, to build the first temple for Prabhupada. It's amazing. It's wonderful. He single-handedly went into China to teach people. At that time, when he first went under the bamboo curtain of communism, there's, I don't know how many, but there's hundreds of letters in these Chinese alphabet. In America, there's what, 26? I've been out of school a long time. But in China, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of letters. But there's no word for God. There's no word for a supreme person. You have to, all sorts of different juggling of symbols and signs and letters to try to give an indication that there is a supreme person, there is a God. And through his efforts, thousands of people are chanting Krishna's names. Wonderful. And one of the most wonderful, wonderful things that Tamal Krishna Goswami did for the world is he showed so much kind and love to those who were near him. Guru Nishtha, and what is sister's name? Guru Gyana. Can you both stand up? Is there any other disciples of Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj in the room today? Acha. Could you stand up, please? Let us congratulate these very fortunate souls for the blessing. Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj loved and cared for these devotees in a way that hardly a mother and father can possibly compare to. With so much affection, attention, and sincere spiritual concern. It is this type of wonderful person that Srila Prabhupada inspired to help share the message of love of God within the world. So on this day, we offer our sincerest gratitude and obeisances to His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, who departed from this world just about 2 years ago. And to Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly gave us his association. So to end my lecture exactly on time, which is something I've probably never done before, but under Anuptama Prabhu's glance, I am feeling quite disciplined today. But please, let us rejoice in the great fortune of the opportunity at every moment to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the essence of life, unmotivated loving service to the Supreme Lord. All that's required is the cleansing of the heart. Chaito darapana marajanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. That treasure is within us. There's a famous book about a man who found out that his father left him a treasure. And he traveled the whole world looking for the treasure. And while abroad, he died. They brought his body home to his backyard and dug the grave. And guess what they found in his own backyard? A treasure. It's the story of life. We are looking everywhere for the treasure of satisfaction, for the treasure of love, for the treasure of fulfillment. But it's within our own hearts. Our eternal relationship with Krishna. What is required is getting rid of that dirt that's covering it. And how is that done? The simple, glorious process that anyone and everyone can practice is sincere and prayerfully, with humility, chanting the holy names. We chant this Maha Mantra. It is the medicine that clears the disease of ignorance, envy, lust, pride, greed, anger, and illusion, and allows the true nature of the self to shine, to illuminate the world. So please chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Thank you very much. Are you sure about this?
Two short questions.
Yes, Prabhu.
Swamiji, you have taught us today the greatest theme of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Prabhu, Prabhupada, and all the love. But you know, when actually you teach, we teach, come to the people, tell them that this is the service we need. But the Lord, service to divinity, and to God, Krishna stated in Bhagavad Gita, about Raja Janak, in 10th chapter, service, mat parma. But when we actually meet the people, they listen to the lecture from 1 year and go out from the 2nd year. People are not actually practically following
Did everyone hear and understand the question? Essentially, the question is, he's very eloquent, but I'll make it more concise. How to solve the problem of so many people with false egos? Who even in the name of religion and even in the name of Hare Krishna just want to do their own thing. Yes? So, We can either be part of the problem or part of the solution. We may not be able to universally solve the problem, but we could do our part. Yes? When Sri Ramchandra was going from Rameshwaram, Setu Banda, to Sri Lanka, they had to build a bridge across the ocean. So Hanuman, son of Bayu, he was tearing peaks off mountains and putting them in the ocean to float. By the power of the name of God, the name of Ram, those mountain peaks were floating. Huge rocks. They'd float. And there was a little spider. And that spider with his tiny legs was kicking sand. And he was right in the pathway of Hanumanji. And Hanuman said, "Spider, get out of my way." And Ram said, "Hanuman, no. He is doing as much service as you. He's doing what is within his power to serve this mission, to find a solution to the problem, and you're doing everything according to your power. I don't see the material quantity. I see the quality of consciousness. You are both doing what you can." So there is something we can all do. We could be examples of the ideal in our own lives. We can strive for that with integrity, with dignity, with honesty, and with humility. Strive to be a proper example in our own lives. And that is, and if many people commit themselves to that, there can be a spiritual revolution of love within this world. We have been blessed with the quota of one more question. Does anyone have another question? Yes, Prabhu. If you can speak very loud, then people will be happy.
That's right. Amaraj, you were mentioning that one of the symptoms of devotion is that your love for other devotees becomes more universal. And my question was that if it is not becoming universal, is that a symptom that you don't have love for Krishna? Or how do you make it actually? Is it like an external symptom that manifests out of an internal desire, or you cultivate it separately?
Simultaneous. We must simultaneously cultivate internally the purification of our own heart through sincerely, humbly, attentively chanting God's name, through submissively reading the holy scriptures, through prayer. It is essential for the internal cleansing of our heart. But if we do not harmonize our lifestyle with our internal quest, then that is hypocrisy. It's like an elephant bathing and then throwing dirt all over himself. So through a life of service, a life of respectfulness toward others, a life of forgiveness, compassion, and determination to live by the principles that we hold sacred in our heart, the combination of the two, we can access divine mercy of the Lord very holistically, and there will be a transformation of heart. Does that answer your question? Thank you very much. Lord Chaitanya made it very simple. If you simply take shelter of the name of God, serve the devotees of the Lord, and show compassion to suffering people, you will attain the ultimate perfection of life. But it's not easy because we have these false egos. And we have all kinds of passions and attachments and attractions to so many diversions. That is why it is so important that we have a sangham, a satsang, an association of people who will encourage and protect us on the path of spiritual life. It's very important. It doesn't mean we insulate and isolate ourselves from the world, but it means that we gain our spiritual strength and protect our spiritual strength in that association. And then we can go out and do what we're supposed to do with integrity. Krishna's name is none different than Krishna. And Krishna has so many names. If we can simply learn to take shelter of the name of the Lord and live with a proper service attitude, then our lives will be perfect. All the realizations will awaken by the grace of God. This is what Srila Prabhupada has taught. This is what is in holy scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the scriptures of the world. And His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, he gave his life wholeheartedly for this principle. So we have great souls in history. There are great examples in our midst today. Let us do what we can to be examples in our own lives. That's really all that's required. Love is absorption. Yes? When you love someone, you are absorbed in that person. In this country of America, so many songs, mostly about people who have frustrated love. Yes? The blues. Whether it's that form of music or another, it's usually about broken hearts and crying out in the anguish of a lost love. Yes? So that means you're kind of absorbed in that experience. Vishaya, what is that verse? Vishayavanivartante niraharasya dehena rasavarajam rasopyasya param drisvani vartate. If we want to become transcendental from those material conditions, we can't just negate our minds and senses, but we must absorb ourselves in a higher principle. We must absorb ourselves in Krishna, absorb ourselves in God. Spirituality is not just ritual, it's not just ceremonial. The rituals, the ceremonies, the rules, the regulations, they are necessary to give us the proper framework by which we can stay in the right direction. We have a format to engage our mind, our senses, and our hearts in God's service. So those ceremonies are very important. But the essence is to actually be absorbed in remembering Krishna with a favorable attitude of devotion. Yes? So we want to absorb ourselves in hearing the message of the Lord, absorb ourselves in chanting the names of the Lord, absorb our consciousness, absorb our lives in the loving service of the Lord, absorb our lives in sharing our love of God with the world. Yes? To the degree we are absorbed with humility, tolerance and determination, we will find the ultimate satisfaction of Krishna and have the power to share that with others. Prema Pumartha Mahan. This was the message of the Lord Chaitanya, that the ultimate crest jewel of all goals of life is that absorption in loving service to Krishna. And factually, it is an opportunity that is available for every single living entity in the human form of life. There's no excuse except what we manufacture with our own minds. We can justify so many reasons why I cannot do it, because this has happened to me, and it is unjust, it is unfair, it never should have happened. Therefore, how does God or anybody expect me to give my heart? Yes, if we think like that, it's our own mind cheating us. The opportunity is there for everyone, at all times, everywhere. Doesn't matter whether you're a priest or the street sweeper of a street. It doesn't matter if you're Eastern or Western or man or woman or old or young or rich or poor. The soul is transcendental to all of these temporary conceptions. All that's required is our sincerity, our faith, our humility, and our determination to take God's name. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you.